Last Sunday night, I mentioned Paul's words when he was writing to the Ephesians, speaking of God's power. He said, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." And I say, amen. Our God is mighty. In fact, He is almighty. Our God can do anything. I was preaching last Sunday night on the power of God. What God can do. Then in reading the Bible, and I'm reading the Bible through, and I'm in the book of Job in the Old Testament, but reading in the New Testament this week, I came across a verse that caught my attention in 2 Peter, chapter number 1, beginning with the first verse. Read along there with me if you have your Bible. "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue." And listen to this, "whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises." I thought about those words that came from last Sunday night's sermon from the third chapter of Ephesians of exceeding abundantly above all that we ask to think. Now, Peter says in this fourth verse, "whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises." Sunday night, the power of God. This morning, I want to preach on the promises of God. I did not have that lined out. I did not have that prepared before. It just happened to be this week that caught my attention and sounded good, and I want to preach about this God that promises. What a mighty God. What a blessed Redeemer. And today I want to mention several of the promises of God. And I want to make it plain to begin with. What God promises, He is able to perform. In the Wednesday night Bible study, we learned that some 4,000 years ago, God made a promise to Abraham. We are studying in the book of Genesis in the Wednesday night Bible study. He promised not only that He would bless Abraham, and it would involve him and his family members and his seed, but He said, "I'm going to bless you, Abraham, and it's going to involve all the families of the world. From this day forward, every family of the world is going to be blessed through you, Abraham." And when I read that in the 12th chapter of Genesis, I thought, what a tremendous promise that was. And then over the years, from that time until today, how that God has proven Himself to be faithful, because He has done exactly what He said He would do, and every believer here this morning is blessed of God. It's been 4,000 years, and yet God said through your seed, Abraham, "I'm going to bless every family of the world." And we are blessed today because of God's promise. He's been faithful. "In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." And some might have difficulty understanding how that might be so, how that can be true in our lives all of these centuries later. And listen, if you will, to the first verse of Matthew's Gospel. The first verse of the New Testament, the Bible said, "the book of generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." Here is Matthew, all those years later, after God gave the promise to Abraham, Matthew begins to trace the genealogies of the Lord, the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, it goes back to the Abraham himself. Listen, closely. It's in Jesus today that we are blessed. With all God's anointing upon the writer, Matthew, and directing him, Matthew traces the genealogy of Jesus Christ to Abraham, letting us know that it is Jesus, the Son of the living God, who is the source of our blessings. Everyone understand. Thank God for Abraham. Thank God for Isaac. Thank God for Jacob. But our blessings are in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's through Him we have salvation. It's through Him we have the gospel message. We are blessed. Since that's true, we've just sung a chorus. I am blessed, I am blessed every day that I live. I am blessed. Why is that so? Because God promised it and God has fulfilled it. What a Savior. What a mighty God. Then I thought of another promise that God has made. That great verse in Jeremiah, one of the outstanding verses of the Bible. He said, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not." Call unto me. The Bible is encouraging us to call unto the Lord, and He said, if we will call, He will answer. That's a promise. I'm preaching on the promises of God. It's a promise. If we call on God with faith believing, God will answer. I'm going to give some illustrations. The children of Israel had come after they had left Egypt. They'd come to the Red Sea. They're hemmed in. They have nowhere to go. Pharaoh's armies are behind him. The mountains are sound beside him. And the Red Sea is out there. They have nowhere to escape. It looked like destruction's going to come any moment. And the Bible says that God, Moses called upon God. And God had him to hold out the rod over the sea, the Red Sea. And God had the waters to roll back. I want everyone to know this today. When God promises something, God will bring it to pass. He opened the waters of the Red Sea and they walked across on dry ground. We are serving a big God. He is a powerful God and His promises are yea and amen. I went a little further in the Bible. I came to the time when there was a battle going on and Joshua, I was fighting the battle. And it came time to look like if I just had a little bit more time, we can win the victory. If we just had a few more daylight hours, we can defeat the enemy. And so Joshua prayed one of the most powerful prayers in the Bible. He prayed to God, "Sun, stand still." Do you know what that means? He's saying to the planets, don't any of you move. Moon, wherever you are, stay there. And the Bible says he called on God and God answered his prayer. And there's never been a day like it for almost the whole day. God gave him that much more time to defeat the enemy. There's never been a day like it in all of history because he called on God with faith believing and God answered his prayer. God had promised, "I will show thee great and mighty things." Brother, that's a great and mighty thing. I read the 2 Samuel chapter 11. I learned about David, the great king of Israel, how that he fell from grace, how that he sinned, how that he committed adultery. With Bathsheba, it was a sad day. And no doubt you've heard the news of late, how that the leading general that now is in charge of CIA has resigned because of having an affair. A man that has been one of the great generals of my generation. Outstanding, seemingly above all reproach, has resigned because of an affair having been married over 37 years to his wife but having had an affair. Listen closely, if people don't serve God, they'll do anything. David, the king of Israel, a good man, best of God, anointed by God, chosen by God, used of God to bring victory to the nation of Israel, and now, in a lapse of faith, he has committed adultery with Bathsheba. But the Bible says, if you call, I will answer. That's a promise. Let me just read some verses that I jotted down from the 51st chapter of Psalms. David cried out and said, "Have mercy on me, O God." He said, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. What he was saying, God, I'm calling on you. I'm sorry for my sins. I repent of my sins. I have made a blunder. I failed you, God. But if you'll just hear my voice and forgive me, Lord, and restore the joy, I'll serve you, God. I'll testify to others what you've done. And God heard his prayer because God had promised, if you call, I will answer. If God's ever promised you something, stand on it. He never fails. What a God. What a mighty God. What a blessed Redeemer. I've been old in the Bible. I came to a place in the Scriptures. How I found in the last days, saith God, what He was going to do. Later at the time when the people of Israel had sinned and had been taken captive into Babylon. And I want you to understand what I'm saying now. When Israel obeyed God, God blessed them. When Israel disobeyed God, judgment came. And listen, if you will, today, it's the same with you and me. God is a just God, as our Sunday school lesson declared today. But if we disobey, if we go against God, there will be judgment. And it was brought up in our class, I wonder, with all the turmoil and the hurricane and earthquakes and all so many things, I wonder if some of this, the judgment of God, the election, some people are very disappointed of the outcome, not only on the national scene, but various other ways. Many are disappointed in talking to some even right after that. I believe that God's working something out. I believe He's still in control. And I'm confident that God is going to do exactly what He said He's going to do. Every nation that forgets God, do you know the rest of that verse? Shall be turned into hell. He was not talking about Germany. He was not talking about some country in Africa or in Iraq anymore than He's talking about America. And in our election on last Tuesday, when some states ratified same-sex marriage and the use of freedom for marijuana and some other things, and some other things were passed, America is going the same way that Rome went. Do you know how Rome fell? No one overran Rome. The Bible lets me to know that Assyria overran Egypt. Babylon overran Assyria. The Medo-Persians overran the Babylonians. The Grecians overran the Medo-Persians. The Romans overran the Grecians. But no one overran the Romans. They rotted from the inside. They got away from God and the things of God, and they rotted from within. And there's never been another world power to rule the entire world. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this morning, God has some tremendous promises. If we'll serve Him, we can rejoice. If we fail to serve Him, there'll be judgment. And the Bible tells us that in the last days, God gave Ezekiel a vision of the people of Israel. You're going to be taken into captivity by the Babylonians because you failed me. You'll be there 70 years, but after 70 years, I'm going to bring you back home. And then he showed Ezekiel another vision further down the road. Not only is your nation Israel going into Babylonian captivity now, but there's going to be a time when the nation of Israel is going to be broken up, and it's going to be scattered amongst the nations of the world. The people are going to be scattered here and here and here. And God said, Ezekiel, I'm going to show you a picture. In the last days, I'm going to bring them back home, and I'm going to make them a nation again. And I mentioned it last Wednesday night. In my generation, God's done that very thing. 2,600 years later, after God gave that promise to Ezekiel, He said, in the last days, my people that will be scattered around the world, I'm going to bring them back home, and I'm going to make them a nation again. And they're going to be back home, and they will remain in their country, in their land. It's theirs forever. Won't you mark this down, if you will? When God said, I'm going to bring them back home, He made a promise. It took 2,600 years, but He
fulfilled his promise.
And on May the 14th, 1948, Israel had won their independence, and they flew the Star of David over Tel Aviv. They had won the victory. Then later on in 1967, in the Six-Day War, they took part of Jerusalem and went to the Wailing Wall that is so important to the airman. They said, they had been saying next year in Jerusalem, next year in Jerusalem, but now they're back to say, why do I know that? Because God promised it. Amen. He's faithful. He fulfilled the promise in your lifetime and mine. Then I read from the third chapter of Genesis. God had made Adam and Eve and placed them in a beautiful garden. And the Bible says that God told them, all of this is yours. Everything is yours. Just one stipulation, you're not to eat of the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden. Now listen closely to what I tell you. The devil will try to make you believe whatever God says you ought not to do. That's the best thing to do. If you don't do it, you're missing out on life. And so the devil deceived Eve, and she took of the fruit and gave to her husband, and he did eat, and they sinned, and they fell, and the fellowship was broken. No more fellowship with God. You cannot have fellowship with God with sin in your life. It's an impossibility. And the Bible says, afterwards, in the third chapter of Genesis, God, and I'm not going to try to quote it now, but God said to Adam and Eve, I'm one of these days, I'm going to send a Messiah. I'm going to send a Redeemer. He will make it possible for mankind to be reunited with Almighty God. Have fellowship once again with Almighty God. I will send the Christ of glory, the Redeemer, the Messiah to this world. 2,000 years pass. 4,000 years pass before it happened. But you can read it in the first chapter of the book of Matthew. That when Mary, the virgin, came up expecting a child, and she was not yet, the marriage had not been consummated yet, her and Joseph, and she was espoused to him. Joseph was deciding what he's going to do, and an angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph and said, concerning your spouse wife, Mary, who's a virgin, she's with child of the Holy Ghost. She hasn't sinned as you have thought. But when he's born, I want you to name him Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. 4,000 years earlier, in the third chapter of Genesis, God has said, I'm going to send a Messiah. And he came right in the fullness of time. He was right on time 4,000 years later. And Matthew says in that first chapter as he's writing it, he says, be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I want to make one more stipulation right here. God did not save us to remain in sin. He saved us from our sins. He saved us that we might be separated from our sin. Keep that in mind, this business of a sinning religion. That's what I had before I got saved. I had a whole lot of it. Sinning religion. But I was lost. And when you get saved, Jesus said, go out of the sinning business. Amen, amen. This is the best life in the world. There is therefore now no condemnation, Paul said in the 8th chapter of Romans, because the Lord lives in my heart, and He rules in my life, and I've committed everything to Him. God said to Adam and Eve, I'm going to send the Messiah, and when He comes, hallelujah, He will be able to bring man back to his senses, and back to God into that fellowship once again. In the 19th chapter of Luke, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. I'm glad that He came, amen. He came to seek for me, and He saved me. Thank God. I want you to remember 4,000 years the promise before it's fulfilled. But you can mark it down when God promises something, it's going to happen. It's going to take place. Just as God said, thank God. Thank God. Romans 10:9, what a promise. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a promise, what a promise. And the wonderful part is, and please don't forget this, the wonderful part about those two verses, they never fail. No one has ever gone to an altar. No one has ever bowed his head in an automobile or by his bedside or wherever and called on God out of a repentant heart and asked God to forgive him. No one has ever done that without God answering. Everyone that's called upon the Lord to save them with a repentant heart, God has saved. Brother, that's enough to shout about. He's never failed. It always works. There was a commercial, and I don't even know what it was, but it said, "Try it, you'll like it." I don't know whether it's Pepsi or whether it's potato chips or tacos. I really don't know. Try it, you'll like it. And I say the same thing about the Lord. Try it. You'll like it. Thank God. And then there are two other illustrations of promises that I came to in the Bible that I would like to finish up this morning with. First of all, found in Acts chapter number 2. The Bible says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place and in one accord. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And cloven tongues like as a fire came and sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance." A new phenomena. No one has spoken in tongues. The Holy Ghost has come. Jesus said, "When I get back to the Father, I will send the Comforter. He will not only be with you, He will dwell in you." And so when the people that were around about on that Pentecost feast had gathered in Jerusalem, they couldn't understand. "These people are my neighbors. These people, I know them. And now they're teaching, they're speaking in languages that they've never learned. I was raised with them. I know that they don't know this language, and they're speaking in this language, and this language, and this language." And they said, "What is all this about?" And Peter said, "This is that that's spoken by Joel the prophet." And he began to preach. And the more Peter preached, the more the Holy Ghost began to deal with the hearts and the lives of the people that were gathered in Jerusalem. And finally, they came to Peter, and they said, "What must we do? What shall we do?" And Peter said in the 37th verse of the second chapter, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto him, unto Peter, and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." He said there is a promise that God has given to you. If you repent and obey God, God will bless you, and God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. What do you say, preacher? God said, "I've got a promise for everyone that will serve me and obey me and love me." Hallelujah, hallelujah. I have poured out my spirit upon the disciples, but it's not only for the disciples, it's whosoever will. Your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren, or whoever out there will believe me, this promise is unto you. Brother, that's something to shout about. Amen. What a God, what a blessed Redeemer. And every promise I've mentioned, when people called on God, God answered. Every promise. I preached last Sunday night on what the power of God, what God can do. And now I'm trying to preach on what God said He will do in answering prayer. And I come to one of my favorite verses, and was my dad's, that I'd like to conclude this morning. Found in the 14th chapter of John. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." Jesus said those words. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." That is a promise of God. That's a promise that I've been looking forward to ever since I got up from the altar in 1955 in the month of February in Mountain Home, Idaho, until this morning. That's a promise that I've carried with me in my heart, that Jesus said, "One of these days, I'm coming to get the church. I'm coming to get my children, the saints of the living God. I'm not talking about a denomination. I'm not talking about a bundle of tabernacle. I'm talking about the church of the living God, saved by grace, kept by the power of God. When I got up on that altar, I'd been raised in a holiness home, I knew. When I got up on that altar that night with my wife, both of us praying and asking God to forgive us, and God saved us both, I had a hope in my heart that one of these days, one of these days, the Lord's coming. And I intend to be ready. Because He made a promise. And if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Now, a lot of things have happened since 1955 in the month of February. In fact, in the month of November in 1958, I was called to preach. In July 1959, we started a new church in a new town without a building, without any members. But God sent us there. 3 years later, we went full-time in the ministry. 1962, month of April, May. God told us to. That would have been the most foolish move we could make if it had not been God. Because the church was not strong enough and financially able to pay a full-time salary, but God said, turn in your resignation at the post office and go full-time in the ministry. And we did. And I've said this over and over again, but one of these days I'm going to preach my last sermon, so I want to get it in one more time. He's met every need of our lives. On the night I was called to preach, He said, thou art my servant, I've chosen thee and not cast thee aside. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God said that. That's a promise. And the night I was called to preach on this side of the church in Tucson, Arizona, in a prayer meeting on a Wednesday night, kneeling at the front bench, God began to deal with my heart about calling me to preach, and that very night He gave me those scriptures speaking to my heart. I leave this with you today. After all of these years, 1959, November 1959, and here we are these many years later, back in November again. He's never failed. You can mark it down. He never fails. You can depend on Him. He makes a promise and He keeps it. He's never let my wife and I and my family, our family, He's never let us down one time. There have been times when we did not have money. We never told our parents, my parents or my wife's parents, nor anyone else but God. God said, call on me and I will answer thee. We've had people that God spoke in the middle of the night in another state. Said, Brother and Sister Jones need some money. And they obeyed God. And I've never begged for a penny, never asked for a penny in the ministry for myself. God is a good God. What He has promised, He's able to perform. That's what Paul said when he was writing to the Romans, what God has promised, He's able to perform. He's promised to come get us. And I'm closing, and my wife's coming to the piano. In the 14th chapter of John, when He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and then I'm going to come and get you. God has spoken to me more than one time about the nearness of the coming of the Lord. In that same church in Tucson, way back in 1959 and 1960, 1958, I was called to preach. 1958, I was called to preach in November. Started the church in 1959 in July. From all the way back to 1958 until tonight, today, God spoke to me in that church, standing in the outside the front door, that His Son was soon to come. He's spoken to me more than one time along the lines when I'm reading the Bible, this is going to happen, it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And I'm going to leave one word with you this morning. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. He's coming. That's a promise. That's a promise. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. Call on the Lord. He's a big God. Every promise we used to sing that chorus as a child, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. It's all. The Word of God is ours. We are blessed people this morning to know Him.
and to be known of Him as His children. I'm glad, as my wife plays something softly right now, I'm glad I can tell you right now, all is well. All is well. All is well. I've talked to some this past week that they could not say that because some things have happened in their lives and there's something going on. They couldn't say it. And I'm not saying it because I'm boasting, but it's all well because of Him. It's all well because of Him. Every promise that He's made, He's going to keep it. Will you stand with me?